Hello and welcome to my 2025 executive advice. This podcast is about battery procurement for electric vehicles. My name is Seb and this new clarity is brought to you by SystemGorilla.com. Enjoy! We've all heard before that strategic directions of electromobility, so how many electric vehicles do we sell at a good price, massively depend on the batteries and high voltage systems employed in these exact vehicles. It makes sense to know your ways around, so we'll have a closer look at the battery procurement process for automotives, at key decision makers in this process, and at the milestones involved. In the end, this knowledge helps you to make your decisions with clarity. So, let's go on and jump into the process. It all starts with a very sensitive step, strategic planning and forecasting. Within this step, the manufacturer forecasts his vehicle production volumes and sales mix. So how many conventional vehicles will he still sell in a couple of years? How many hybrids? How many battery electric vehicles? This is especially getting interesting here for us. And how many plug-in hybrids? As you can imagine, this strategic planning and forecasting step is rather a guesswork in nowadays environments of legal changes and requirements changes on an every month basis. But nevertheless, all the upcoming steps are based on it. So the outcomes of the strategic planning and forecasting phase are very important downstream. Battery requirements have to be derived based on the predicted vehicle platforms and the expected energy density, range, and performance. Seen from a higher perspective, you define the strategy where you want to go. So in the next step, supplier selection and partnership, all this new know-how can be used. Within this process step, you usually find a milestone associated with tech scouting and feasibility. The idea is to evaluate different battery chemistries and cell formats. Tier 1 suppliers or battery cell manufacturers like Kettle, LG Energy Solution, Panasonic, Samsung, SDI are evaluated against each other, an early benchmark to see whether they are the potential serial production partners. Also, oftentimes the manufacturer creates a joint venture or a long-term supply agreement to ensure cell availability and price stability, which, as we all know, is a very sensitive topic in this very business case of selling electric vehicles. All the partnering and scouting doesn't get you anywhere if you don't make a supplier shortlisting and put out requests for information and requests for quotations, RFQs. So you're gathering proposals and quotations to pick the best one. In this next process step of technology alignment and qualification, together with a pre-selected supplier, battery chemistry is chosen. This is based on the energy density required, the safety implications, the costs you can bear with it to still make it profitable, the charging time associated, and the life cycle behavior. Based on that, you could pick different battery chemistries, for example, NMC, LFP, and solid state. Also in this very process step, prototypes are tested and qualified for performance, reliability, and safety. Here you can see why a close network together with the suppliers that you picked previously is very useful to learn together and grow together on challenge and R&D tasks. If you're a tier supplier, in this next phase, the thumbscrews will be engaged. Negotiations and everything will be taken place in the sourcing and procurement contracts phase. The idea is at the end you have a contract finalization with fixed pricing, volume, exclusivity, and penalties agreed and signed. Long-term supply contracts are therefore signed off within this phase, often with volumes and price tiers. Sourcing includes battery cells, modules and packs, battery management systems called BMS, but also strategic sourcing of raw materials, for example, lithium, nickel, cobalt, may also occur directly by the OEMs to secure some of the risks. Following your technology alignment, your sourcing, and contract finalization, you finally set up the supply chain and your logistics. These steps logically include cell transportation, warehousing, and just-in-time delivery to your assembly plants. Your important considerations should be lying on import and export regulations, customs, and environmental rules. Okay, now we haven't only talked about the batteries on paper. No, we have real parts in our assembly plants. Now we can start engineering the manufacturing process and serial vehicle integration. Packs are either built at the manufacturer's in-house, for example, Tesla does this, or they are integrated by tier ones. Batteries are tested and integrated into the vehicles where they have to be validated. Typical milestones here are design freeze and testing, where batteries are integrated into vehicles for validation, or the start of production at one point because from all your manufacturing you want to build a car to release. The pack production in many cases coincides with vehicle builds. Okay, with SOP, you finally have not only got your vehicle, but also your procured battery systems on the road. Nice. Now their life cycle has to be managed. So towards one of our last but always ongoing process steps, life cycle management. There has to be a strategy in place for the end of life. So what do you do with a run-out high voltage stack? Do you give it a second life, for example, in household energy? Do you recycle its individual components? Also, part of the life cycle management is the battery monitoring and health tracking post sales, because the condition of the high voltage battery in electric vehicles massively defines the value of the vehicle. So, at what price can you resell it? If you want to see the high voltage battery as a patient, then within the life cycle management phase, you don't only figure out how well the patient is doing, but also when it's dying and what to do with his remains. Not short to mention the ongoing optimization that always takes place in new vehicle generations, architectures, and in our very case, battery packs. There's continuous improvements, warranty handling, and recycling strategies going on that customers often just don't realize in the background. Before the end of this podcast, I want to give you an overview of the roles of key decision makers. If you occur on this list, congratulations, you're a key decision maker. If not, bear in mind this very role title and figure out how to get in touch with your key decision maker. So we'll just start into the Chief Procurement Officer, the CPO. He's responsible for strategic sourcing, supplier selection, and commercial negotiations. Next in line, the VP or Director of Electrifications or EV Programs. He owns the overall electric vehicle product roadmap and requirements as well, and he's including the battery strategy. Next, battery engineering and R&D heads. They are choosing the chemistry, the form factor, and their tech partners. They lead the testing and the validation, and are therefore core experts. Next, supply chain and logistic managers. They coordinate delivery, warehousing, and risk management across all regions. Do you want to deal with sustainability officers and ESG leaders? They ensure your compliance with environmental sourcing and recycling requirements. Last but absolutely not least, to stay compliant, the legal team. They handle contract law, IP protection, and international regulations. If you were not on that list but are still a decision maker that needs some insights, I welcome you to get in touch with me. My name is Seb. This executive advice was presented by SystemGorilla.com, and I hope you enjoy your day.